Hey, CEO, I have an important question for you today. Are you running your business or is your business running you? If it's time to get your business in order so you can fully step into your role as a confident, in-control CEO, then I want to invite you to this advanced training series that I'm hosting live on May 20th through May 24th. We're calling it the 90-Day CEO Sustainable Success Series. And over these 4 days, we're going to break down our research-backed, client-proven process to help you sustainably scale your business without hustling, without overworking, and without burnout. If you've been winging it in your business, hoping that you'll eventually get caught up and telling everyone in your life that when things calm down, you'll be a real functioning human again, this series is especially for you so that you can reclaim your life as you scale up your business. All you have to do is head over to theceocollective.com/success and sign up. We can't wait to see you there. Believe it or not, there has never been a better time to start a business. A business that allows you to create success on your terms while allowing the freedom to work on your schedule and the flexibility to work from wherever. A business that can simply support a comfortable lifestyle for yourself and your family, or scale up with systems and support to truly create financial freedom. A business where work just doesn't feel like work because you finally found a way to share your passion and your purpose and make a meaningful difference in people's lives. If you have been curious about what it takes to actually start a business and get paying clients ASAP, then make sure you've set aside some time to listen to this masterclass episode, an in-depth episode to help you actually get the ball rolling and bring in paying clients as soon as possible. Are you ready to grow from solopreneur to CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent the last decade helping women entrepreneurs start and scale service-based businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me each week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Hey there, I am so excited about today's masterclass episode. And I'm calling it a masterclass because this episode is a deep dive into what I would do to get a business up and running with paying clients as soon as possible in today's economic climate. I think this is such an important topic, and I know so many of those of you who are listening to promote yourself to CEO, while many of you have established businesses, there's also a lot who are still in that startup stage. And the good news is you don't have to go out and make this super complicated. You don't have to raise capital. You don't have to take out thousands of dollars in business loans. You don't have to go into thousands of dollars worth of debt to get started, even now during economic recession, during some economic uncertainty. And I feel like I'm uniquely experienced in this way because I started this business 12 years ago in the last economic recession. I started my business in 2008, right after the stock market started to go haywire. And I didn't have much to get started. I had about $500 and the same MacBook that I had used to finish my MBA program. In the last 12 years of running my business, I do know, you know, things have changed. Technology that was extremely expensive back then is now more affordable and user-friendly than ever before. Finding new clients used to mean attending every networking event, really pounding the pavement, dialing for dollars as you called and called and called to set appointments. And now social media and content marketing have created all of these new channels to reach new potential clients. But you might be thinking, how do I actually start a business though? Because there's a lot of information out there and it can feel completely overwhelming. It can be hard to figure out where to start. As I thought about this question, I asked myself, what would I do differently if I were going to start my business over again today? And I think it's important to preface this with some things to just kind of level set with you, because things today are very different than things 12 years ago. 12 years ago, I was a newlywed. We didn't have kids, just one very hyper Cocker Spaniel puppy we had adopted. And thankfully, my husband and I didn't have any student loans. We didn't have any debt. We lived a very simple life. When I decided to leave my corporate career and create my own consulting business, it was easy for us to look at our finances and make the call, make the decision to downsize our townhome. We actually moved from one townhome to another townhome so we could save a few hundred bucks a month. We cut our expenses. We sold our second car and became a single car household. We sold anything extra on Craigslist. We downsized as much as possible so that we could live off of my husband Jameson's salary as a seventh grade English teacher and allow myself to get my business started without having the stress of also having to pay our bills right away. Man, it was so much easier when I was 25 and had no real responsibilities. But these days, I am living a completely different life. I am now the sole breadwinner for my family. Jameson has been a stay-at-home dad to our three kids for the past 6 years. Our expenses are so much higher. We have a mortgage. We pay for all the kids' activities. Anyone who has children knows that it is not cheap to raise a family. And I think this perspective, and I'm sharing this insight with you because not everyone has the luxury of being 25 debt-free with a breadwinning spouse when they're getting their business up and running. In fact, data shows that the average age of women going out and starting their business is 44 years old. And I think this is so, so crucially important for us to talk about, because if you are like me in that stage of life where you are not only raising your family and have bills to pay, but you might even be taking care of your own personal health challenges or taking care of aging parents, there's a lot on our plates that we have to consider as we are thinking about starting our business. It's a lot harder now. If you are in your late 30s and your 40s and your 50s, there's a lot more at stake than if you were in your early 20s with basically no real responsibilities, right? So I share this so that you know, as I break down in this masterclass episode, what I would do to start a business now and what I would do to get those paying clients as soon as possible. I'm coming from a practical and profitable perspective. I don't want you to go after a plan that doesn't make sense for your actual life. So there's a few things we need to ask ourselves before we dive in. Before you start your business, the first question I want you to ask yourself is, how much time do you have available to invest in your business? Each and every week, how much time is actually available to you to work on your business? Now, this answer is going to vary dramatically from person to person. 12 years ago, I didn't have any major obligations. We lived off my husband's salary as a teacher. I quit my job. I was able to go full-time immediately. And fast forward 12 years, I have three kids. I can only give my business the time available while I'm also being a mom. And over the past 12 years, this has been one of the major constraints I've had to work with. On average, I work about 20 to 25 hours a week. I actually have to do this not only because I'm a mom, but mainly because I have some health considerations, things that keep me from sitting in a chair for 8 hours a day without feeling pain. Like, it's just not a thing I can do. So understanding that time constraint, that time availability, is really important. If you only have 15 hours a week, or you only have 30 hours a week, you are going to need to focus on things differently than someone who has 50 or 60 or 80 hours a week available to just work nonstop. So we have to make sure we're clear about what our time capacity is so that we can make the most out of your limited hours. Okay, second question that we need to think about. How much money do you have available to fund your business? Here's what I want you to think about. It is very difficult to go out and get a business loan, especially right now, for an unproven, untested business, which means the majority of us are self-funding our dreams. We are self-funding our businesses. We are bootstrapping this from the ground up. So we have to think about how much is it going to cost for us to get our business up and running. Now, if you're starting a services-based business, and by services-based business, I mean you are offering your time, your experience, your expertise, you are doing something like coaching, personal training, offering private yoga lessons, consulting, website design, photography, then your startup costs are basically just filing the paperwork to establish the business, open a bank account or a PayPal account, make sure that you can accept payments. Once you get your first few clients, you can start to invest into more tools, more things like websites, email marketing systems, other tools to help you out. Now, when I started my business in 2008, I had about $5,000 earmarked. I knew that I could go out there and spend that very, very quickly, and I did. I spent a lot of it on a website, and if things were as easy and as affordable as they are right now, I would not have spent most of that budget. I spent about half of my budget on a website. If I had to start over right now, I would put $100 into a Squarespace website and I would focus most of my time and energy on getting on calls to book one-on-one consulting clients and get those first few clients before I made any other big investments. It's really easy to spend money as a business owner, so you want to be careful and make sure you're not overspending before you have some cash flow coming into the business. Okay, final big question we need to think about. We've asked ourselves, how much time do we have available? We've asked ourselves, how much money do we have available to fund the business? And now we need to ask ourselves, when do you need to pay yourself? And this is so important to think about. When you get your business up and running, when do you need that business to become profitable enough to pay you? When I started my business, I knew that we could live off of my husband's teaching salary. So I didn't go into starting my business thinking, well, I need to pay myself right away. I thought to myself, I will be able to invest everything back into the business for the first year or so. And just anything I make was going to be able to then fund things like marketing initiatives, new marketing collateral, getting out there and getting in front of more people as a speaker or anything like that. But everything changed for me when I had kids. When I found out I was pregnant with the twins, I realized very quickly how expensive babies are. And I knew I needed to be able to pay myself, actual net paycheck, pay myself $2,500 a month to cover the extra expenses of childcare, to cover the increased cost of living. And fast forward to today, and my life has changed even more dramatically. We have a mortgage. We own our home. We have a minivan. We have my husband's pickup truck. Jameson is now a full-time stay-at-home dad. So if I had to start today, I would have to make almost four times as much in order to cover our needs as a family, because it is a lot more expensive now. We have to think about those things. So now any new business would need to be able to generate $8,000 to $10,000 a month in order for my family to pay our current obligations. And this is really important, because the business I would design to get me to $10,000 a month is very different from a business that only needs to pay me $2,500 a month. So those are the most important questions I feel like we all need to ask ourselves if you are just getting started, because this gives us context and will help us make the smartest decisions for you and your life and your family to make sure that your business is actually going to align with what you really need. Okay, once you have answered those questions, we have a better idea of the time, energy, and money you can invest into this business, we can make sure that you're building the right business for you. So what's next? I want you to press pause, head over to the show notes, and grab the business growth checklist. And this business growth checklist is one of my favorite things I've ever created to help really simplify and streamline the steps you need to go through at each stage of business growth. So go download that business growth checklist and let's dive into some of the specifics together. So the first thing we need to do is find clarity on your business idea. If you've been thinking about starting a business, you've probably brainstormed lists and lists of potential business ideas. But you don't have to invent the next Facebook to have a successful business. I always start by asking these questions. What skills do I have? What problems can I solve? Who needs that solution? And how can I provide that solution? So let's say I'm brainstorming all of these questions and I decide that I can use my cooking skills to become a personal chef. So what problem does a personal chef solve? Not having enough time to cook healthy meals. Who needs that solution? Busy professionals, working parents. How can I provide that solution? Well, there's so many ways I could solve this particular problem. I could run a workshop on meal planning and meal prep. I could do the meal planning and meal prep for them. I could create meal planning and meal prep guides so that they could do it themselves. So those are all sorts of ways I could provide that type of solution. Once you've narrowed down your focus to a specific problem you can solve, it becomes so much easier to get your business off the ground. So once we have that, we have to validate our business idea. Now I'm going to tell you, this is the most important step of the startup stage in the business growth checklist. In the startup stage of your business, your number one focus is validating your idea. If you attempt to start a business without doing this step first, you risk investing a lot of time, energy, and money on an idea that no one actually wants to buy. So how do we validate a business idea? We talk to people. You actually need to get out from behind your computer and have real conversations with real people. I recommend starting with at least 10. If you can't find 10 people who are willing to talk with you and share their experience and their challenges and their struggles with this particular problem that you want to solve, then it is going to be very difficult to build a business around that idea. Now, if you're really serious, I would make it a goal to talk to 100 people who are struggling with this problem and get their insight, get their feedback about your idea. Until you've had these conversations, it is going to be incredibly difficult to make sure that your marketing message is actually clear and compelling to those dream clients. Now, these conversations are not about pitching yourself. These aren't sales calls. This is market research. This is doing the research into what your potential clients truly want and are willing to pay for. So some questions you could ask, and I'll use the chef example we just talked about. If I was doing these type of conversations to get clarity on my ideal clients, I would ask, why is healthy eating a priority for you? What gets in the way of eating healthy in your family? What is your biggest frustration when it comes to healthy eating? Do you ever create a plan to eat healthier? Have you ever tried meal planning? Have you ever tried a meal delivery service? What would it look like if it were easier to make healthy meals for your family? How would that make your life easier? You can see that these type of questions really allow the potential clients to share their experience and share the exact things that they are thinking about. These conversations will help you have more understanding, more clarity about what your dream clients want and will happily pay for. And it will make it so much easier to promote and sell that offer. Then, step three, we need to create your one sentence introduction. Once you've validated your idea, then we want to make sure you can describe clearly what you do. If you've ever struggled to describe what you do, then you're not alone. Most of us struggle to describe our work in a way that gets people interested. But if you can't clearly articulate what you do, then your dream clients won't understand that you can help them. That's why I use this little Mad Libs template. I do this for this type of person so that they can see this result. So my example here, I'm a personal chef for busy working families who want to eat healthy meals without spending their entire Sunday stressing over shopping and meal prep. You can see how that gives simple, direct insight into how you work, who you're there for, and they will be able to self-select very quickly whether or not they want to continue learning more about what you have to offer. Okay, step four. We want to create your signature offer. Before you start just pitching yourself to new potential clients, it's important to actually think about what products, programs, and services you're going to offer. Now, you might already have heard a lot about creating passive income products or group coaching programs, but I'm here to say over and over and over again, I have seen that the fastest path to cash, especially in the startup stage, is working with clients one-on-one. Services are the perfect foundation for creating a solid baseline revenue in your business. Now, there's so many benefits to working one-on-one. It's so much easier to fill your client pocket and hit your revenue goals. You don't have to have a huge audience. You can start working with private clients by tapping into your existing network for introductions and referrals. You can easily fill a private client docket without stressing over website traffic, social media following size, or building an email list. And you don't need a complicated webinar or automated sales funnel. All you need is the ability to have a conversation with a potential client and let them know exactly how you can help them. So let's create your signature offer. The biggest challenge that so many service-based entrepreneurs run into is constantly trading dollars for hours. You've probably heard people talk about why it's so terrible to trade dollars for hours. If this is you, then you might find yourself hustling to consistently fill your calendar, because if you are getting paid session by session and the client decides not to show up or cancels on you, then the revenue becomes inconsistent. So not only is the trading dollars for hours model broken for most entrepreneurs, but it doesn't really serve your clients either. It's not going to get your clients the long-term results that they want, because a one-off session, just seeing you once, is likely not going to make the massive impact they're looking for long term. It's not going to help them achieve their goals. Instead of thinking about how much does it cost to hire you for just an hour or just to work with you once, I want you to shift your thinking to how can you truly get the best results for your clients? How can you help them get the best results possible? How much time is that going to take? How committed do they need to be? What kind of challenges and obstacles will they face? And how will working with you help them to achieve those goals? When you shift this from just being available for hire by the hour to now focusing 100% on the results that you deliver, you're making a huge step towards delivering real results for your clients and making a shift towards more predictable profits in your business. This shift will not only serve your clients because they're going to see you more consistently, which leads to them seeing the results they're looking for, but you're helping yourself because now you're setting up a profit plan that gets you paid every single month. So let's take a look at how this all breaks down. Let's say your goal annual revenue is $100,000, 100K, and your signature offering is going to be a six-month coaching program for $2,500, which means $100,000 divided by $2,500 equals 40. I need 40 clients to pay me $2,500 to hit that revenue goal. Now, I love crunching the numbers on this because it gives me so much clarity around what needs to happen in order to make that business goal happen. So instead of hustling nonstop every single week, trying to fill the calendar up where you're literally trading dollars for hours, now you're focused on just making 40 sales and serving those 40 clients to see real results. So what does a program like that look like? Well, let's take a look. This is the program that I created over 12 years ago when I was leaving corporate consulting and I was starting my business as a coach and strategist for women entrepreneurs. I was working with them for 6 months minimum. I knew in 6 months I would be able to help them implement several key things that would make a huge impact in their business. The best way for me to do that was to work with them every other week. So they had 12 total sessions. They could pay me monthly for $500 a month for those 6 months, so a total of $3,000, or they could pay in full for $2,500. And I offered a nice, healthy discount there to pay in full. What are the benefits for my clients? Not only did they now have dedicated time to work on their business strategy, but every other week, they were able to fine-tune that strategy with me, get the support that they needed to implement consistently. That ongoing accountability meant that they stayed laser-focused. They were able to avoid shiny objects that traditionally had sabotaged their efforts from implementing and seeing the results they were looking for. Now, the benefits for me as an entrepreneur, it was a total win-win. I had 20 people at a time paying me at least $500 a month, generating $10,000 a month for my business. And because I was able to manage my calendar effectively, it was easy for me to plan my client sessions around vacation weeks and still know that I was getting paid because my clients were paying me for a 6 month program instead of by the hour. So it was a total win-win for me and my clients. And if you only have 20 hours a week to work, childcare was my biggest constraint starting my business. This allows you to divide those 20 hours very strategically where you can work 10 hours a week with your clients and still have more than enough time to do the marketing and sales activities you're going to need in order to grow to the next stage of your business. So now let's recap where we are so far in this journey to get a business up and running. I know what problem I'm solving. I have an idea who I'm here to help, who needs that solution. I figured out if I'm actually going to do the work for them, if I'm going to do the work with them like a coach, or if I'm going to teach them how to do it. I validated that idea because I've actually gone out and talked to people. I've boiled it all down into a clear, compelling sentence that helps people understand what I do, and I figured out what the offer is, how I'm going to help people in a one-on-one capacity. So while we're recapping, this is a great time. If you haven't gone to download the Business Growth Checklist, make sure you go download it in the show notes so you can follow along and get ready to implement this into your business. Okay, now once we've done kind of the bigger picture, more strategic thinking things, it's implementation time. The next step, step five, is to get some paying clients. Now it's time to actually go out there and get people to pay you for your signature offer. Now this is the point where a lot of entrepreneurs start circling the creative cul-de-sac and they want to do anything other than actually do the work that it takes to get a paying client. This is where I hear about hours and hours spent looking at logos and business cards and websites and photo shoots and social media. Months are wasted trying to make everything look perfect before they ever go out to get a paying client. So I'm going to just say flat out, this is important. None of the things are important or essential for you to get your first paying clients. And a website is not required for you to go out and get your first paying clients. You need to focus on getting in front of the right people and having conversations with them. Coming right back to having conversations. So let's make a plan based on the signature offering that we outlined above, that one-on-one six-month coaching program. So we're going to first ask ourselves, how many paying clients do we want? Okay, so I know that I need 40 for the year. That means I need to get 20 booked as soon as possible. Then I need to ask myself, how many potential clients do I need to talk to? I would say, very conservative estimate, that one out of every four sales calls should lead to a client. And if you're good, 50% of the people you talk to should want to sign up and work with you. So I know that if I need to get 20 paying clients, I need to have 40 conversations. I've also had a lot of conversations in the past, so I feel really comfortable knowing that I could get 50% of those people to sign up to work with me. If you are not as comfortable yet having these types of conversations, then you might need to talk to a lot more people. That's okay. This is part of the process. So the next thing you need to ask yourself is, how are you going to find 40 to 50 people to talk with who could potentially become paying clients? Your network. The fastest way to find those potential clients is not reaching out one by one. It is to get in front of other people's networks. So I want you to sit down and brainstorm every potential person in your network. This is what I just call a network brainstorm. Who are all the people that I know? Now, I don't want you to get scared here. We are not pitching your friends, your family, former colleagues to be a client, because honestly, not all of them are meant for whatever it is that you have to offer. We are not doing that approach. But we do want to ask them for their help and their support, because chances are they might know someone who is a perfect potential dream client. So the biggest reason you need to start with all the people that you know is warm introductions become warm referrals. And that makes all the difference. It makes it so much easier to get in front of the right people. This just happened with a friend of mine who I've known since college. She had been a teacher for 16 years, and she decided this year she didn't want to go back to teaching. And she reached out and said, hey, I'm going to start a business as a virtual assistant. I've had a blog on the side. I know a lot of the things that virtual assistants do. Do you know anyone who could use a virtual assistant to help with social media, blog content, et cetera, et cetera? And I was like, heck yeah, I do. I didn't need her as a virtual assistant, but I know a lot of great people who would be a perfect fit. So our goal is to do just that. It's to think about, who do we know, so that we can get warm introductions, have warm referrals, and this will help. It'll make it easier for you to talk to enough people in order to fill your private client spots. So action step, very clear action step, make a list of 100 people in your network who potentially could introduce you to someone who's a perfect client. Okay, the next thing we're going to do after we've done the network brainstorm is we're going to send a business announcement email. This is something that I thought of when I was starting my own business. When I was starting my business in 2008, I had just gotten married, and a lot of my friends were getting married, having babies, buying houses, and it felt like we were always going to a wedding, going to a bridal shower, going to a baby shower, going to celebrate somebody getting their first house. We were celebrating all these big events in people's lives. And I thought to myself, a business is just as big of a deal as getting a new home and having a housewarming party. We should be celebrating this big milestone. So if you would invite that person to your wedding or send them a holiday card, chances are they want to hear what is happening in your life. And even if they aren't your dream client, again, they could potentially introduce you to dream clients. Really, we have to remember that business grows at the speed of relationships. Okay, so actually sit down and think through who we can send this announcement to. Now, I hear from a lot of people that they've never actually sat down and reached out to people in their network and let them know, hey, I started this exciting new business and I want to tell you about it. And I think one of the reasons a lot of times people hold back is because they're worried that it might come off as sleazy or pushy. I know a lot of us, especially, this is, you know, something that's changed majorly over the last decade, but a lot of us have had those people reach out who we don't really know, haven't had a great relationship with or a strong relationship with, and they're telling us about, you know, their MLM or something like that. That is not what we're talking about. I want you to remember our goal isn't to sell to our network. It's to just ask them for help and tell them what you are offering. So a business announcement email is simply a way to let your network know, just like you would let them know you're expecting a new baby, let them know that you just bought a house and you're inviting them to a housewarming party. It's a way to let them know you're excited about your new business. And don't forget to let them know how they could help. So when you're writing this email, I would stick to as little as three, you know, less is best, three key things to let them know. So you want to make sure that you're letting people know how they can help. This could be as simple as asking them to pass along your website to a specific type of person. This could be an introduction for a free consult, or it could be asking for a connection. There's a fill in the blank email template for this business announcement email inside the business growth checklist. So if you haven't gone to enter your name and email and get that checklist yet, I hope you do, because this email is one of the best things to just kind of get the ball rolling with warm referrals, people who would be great potential clients. You can let people know if there's a workshop you're going to be running. You can get them to know how they can get engaged and involved with your business. You can offer a referral reward. It's all about asking for help from your network instead of going straight for the sale. So here's your action step. Send out your business announcement email to your network list. This is not something you just want to blast out. You definitely want to take a little bit of time to personalize these emails. You can also modify it and share via social media. The next thing I love to do is host a business launch party. Especially if you are a local business or you have a lot of people in your network locally, you might want to consider hosting a launch party. And even now, with all that's going on in 2020, you could have a virtual launch party. This is a great add-on to the business announcement email because it really could be as simple as a happy hour where you're inviting your network to show up and say, hey, I'm celebrating the official launch of my new business. I'd love your help in spreading the word. Bring a friend for this happy hour. I'll be raffling off some prizes. A launch party does not have to be over the top. It could be a 1-hour cocktail party. It could be a virtual happy hour. It could be anything you can come up with. My friend Noelle Parent of Gifted RVA hosted a fantastic launch party when she celebrated the launch of her business, which creates curated gift boxes that are all sourced from local women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, and artisans. So it was a simple cocktail party at a local co-working space. And what I really loved is she got us engaged with her business. She had a table full of all these different curated gift boxes, and we were asked to vote on our favorites. There was everything from a Boss Babe collection box to a unicorn box to a Galentine's Day box. And she wanted us to give our thoughts and our opinions so she could decide which curated gift boxes were going to be featured on our website. She also had a great photo booth set up to share the event, to get some great images to share on social media. It was a great way to announce her business. It was a great way to engage her network and her community, get people talking about her business, and share what she had available. And you don't have to make a big sales pitch. Really, the event is about building those relationships, encouraging your network to introduce you to people. So spend a little bit of time sharing the vision, sharing what you do, and then the rest of the time mingling and getting to know your community. So action step. Make sure if you're going to do a launch party that you follow up with anyone who attended your launch party. Make sure you're collecting that contact information. This is when you can follow up. You can ask for a consult. You can ask for referrals. You can see how they can continue supporting. So the action step here, follow up with anyone who attended your launch party. This is why you want to make sure you're gathering contact information, because then you can follow up. You can follow up via email, via phone call, and invite people to have a consult with you. Ask them more questions to see if you can support them anyway. Ask for referrals. Do they know anyone else you could potentially help? Another thing we can do, again, these are all things to get in front of those new potential clients. We can find collaborations. My best collaborators have all come from being introduced to people from my network. If I was going to get back into teaching yoga, which it has been a long time, friends, but I would probably reach out to my network with a little update. Hey, y'all, I'm so excited. I'm starting up my yoga business again so that I can help new moms take precious care of themselves so they can take care of their families without all the exhaustion and mommy guilt. Do you know of any business owners who are also serving new moms that might be good collaborators for me? I would look for any opportunity where I could partner up with someone and get in front of an existing community. So you could speak at local organizations, from the Chamber of Commerce to local mom groups. There are dozens of local organizations, local nonprofits, local community groups that are looking for experts to come in and speak to them, to provide education, to provide training, to provide workshops. You could host a workshop or a seminar for another business. Does your work complement the work of another business owner? Partner up and have a co-branded or co-hosted workshop for their clients. You could organize a lunch and learn. I have hosted so many of these mini seminars over lunch at a restaurant or even virtually during the lunch hour. Once you share some great useful information, you can offer a free consult to anyone who wants to dive in deeper. So if you decide you're going to find some collaborations, your action step is to organize a few opportunities to get in front of other people's audiences and make sure that you follow up with every single attendee. Okay, next, offer free consultations. So I know some people hate doing free consultations, and I get it. It can feel really nerve-wracking when you're just getting started, if you've never done them, or if you're really scared that you're going to come off salesy or pushy. But I have to say, I love them because they are a great way for people to actually have a conversation with you one-on-one, for you to really talk to them and get more clarity about what they're struggling with, where they could use support, where they need help. You will get so much more insight. You're going to learn a ton about the people you want to hire you, the people that you're here to help. You simply want to get on the phone and talk with them about their struggles, ask them about their challenges, ask them where they want to be and what their goals are, and then help them figure out what the roadblocks are, what is getting in their way, why are they still stuck. If where they're getting stuck aligns with how you can help people, that's when all you have to do is play matchmaker. You know, where you're getting stuck is something I love helping people with. I see this a lot in my clients. I see this in the people I support. These are the common stumbling blocks, and the best way to overcome that is with this type of offer. Then describe how your signature offering was designed to help them overcome those challenges and get their desired results. Walk them through how it works and what to expect. So now you have a system to go out there and get more clients. First, you can collaborate to get in front of new audiences. Then you give amazing value, you invite them to a free consult, you host the free consults, and you rinse and repeat. I know it might seem like this is just too simple. Shouldn't it be more complicated than that? I'm here to say it really doesn't take rocket science to start a business. It does take patience. It does take practice at all of these things. And it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there. But by now, if you do this several times, you should be able to get your first paying clients in your business. And once you've got those first paying clients, you can start building out the marketing systems that will help you to continue to grow. Okay, we've gone through a lot of steps here in my How to Build a Business little masterclass episode. You might notice, though, that now we've got paying clients in this checklist, and it's time to start building out the marketing part of it. So, step six, build your online presence. This step is after getting clients, and that's because Building a website and setting up social media can often become a huge procrastination strategy that holds so many entrepreneurs back from getting their businesses off the ground. Once you get a few clients in the door, then you can start building your online presence in a smart, strategic way. The first thing you're going to need is a starter website. Now, I want to be very clear. This is totally a Rach opinion here, but at this stage of your business, you do not need to overinvest into a highly customized website. You can keep it incredibly simple, and I love Squarespace for a starter website. Yes, there are a lot of free website builders out there, and they have gotten better, but I have seen a lot of people outgrow them very quickly. If you need a very simple, easy-to-use website, I think Squarespace is great. Alongside your website, you will want an email marketing system. Start building an email list as soon as possible. This is really important because not everybody who finds your website is going to buy from you or sign up for a free consult right away. So we want to start building a list of people who we can now nurture and then get them to the point where they are ready to do business with us. The easiest way to start building your email list is to design a simple freebie as an incentive for people to join your email list. I love ConvertKit because they make it so incredibly easy for us to deliver our free checklists, like the business growth checklist that we've been talking about, and then set up automated email systems that help you to market your business and market your specific offerings. The next thing you'll want to create your online presence is social media. Now, I want to just say social media can quickly become overwhelming, and I think it's one of those things that can be incredibly helpful to grow your business, but it is not the all and be all, right? It's not the only thing you need. If you do decide to grow your business on social media, you know your audience is on there, you feel like it's going to be a great way to get the word out about your business, great. But we only really want to pick and focus on one platform, the ones that your clients are spending the most time on, and then create a plan to show up consistently. Now, currently, hands down, my favorite platform to connect with people on is Instagram. In fact, if you're listening to this episode, I want you to take a screenshot of the episode and tag me on Instagram at rachel.cook. Let me know your biggest aha or insight. Instagram is my favorite place to connect. I find that my audience likes Instagram quite a bit. They find that it's a little less noisy than Facebook. So I spend most of my time on Instagram, and I would only add an additional platform when you feel like your system is working really well for you. Okay, so we've gone through a lot in this business growth checklist so far. We have gone through all of these bigger mindset pieces, bigger strategy pieces. We've taken the action steps to start getting some of those paying clients. We've started thinking about getting our online presence together, but online presence on its own is not enough to market your business. There are millions of websites out there. Just throwing up a website does not mean anyone will ever know about it or find it. So we have to really create a marketing system. And this is step 7, your business growth checklist. We need to make sure that we have a marketing system in place that consistently attracts new people into your business and gets them all the way through to becoming a happily paying client. This is exactly the framework that we use inside of the CEO Collective. This is the framework I use personally inside my business to consistently enroll new clients into my products, programs, and services. And it's all about this 5-part marketing system. This 5-part marketing system covers all of the stages of the customer journey and helps make sure that we're consistently doing the right activities to move people all the way from just hearing about me for the very first time to becoming a happily paying client. So let's walk through the 5-part marketing strategy. The first part is attract. Attract activities are all about getting in front of new audiences. These are people who do not know who you are. They are brand new to you and your business and your brand. And this is where you introduce yourself, you introduce your brand, and start the conversation with them, attract them towards your business. Now, the big thing about attract marketing that you're going to do things here that will take time and effort. You're either going to do things that take time or effort, like networking, asking for referrals, setting up collaborations with other businesses and organizations, writing guest blog posts, getting interviewed on podcasts or on traditional media, driving traffic with organic SEO, guest teaching or speaking for other people's communities. You're either going to do the things that take time and effort and energy to get results, or you're going to spend money to drive those audiences to you via paid advertising. So I want you to ask yourself, what is going to be your go-to strategy to attract new people into your business? Choose just one to get started. Part two, once we've attracted them, we need to engage with them. Engage is all about getting contact information so you can start building that new relationship with a potential client. This is something that I think a lot of us don't always realize, but 99% of people are not going to buy from you the first time they land on your website. And think about the last time you were going to hire someone. Maybe you were going to hire a website designer or a wedding photographer or a health coach. We land on your website and we start poking around. We want to learn more, get information about how you work, but we're not all ready to make the buying decision right away. A lot of us are in research mode when we first land on a website. And that's where your freebie comes in, what I call your pink spoon, that little taste of what you have to offer. We want to offer an incentive for those people to join your email list and continue hearing from you on a regular basis. So I want you to ask yourself and think about, what is your pink spoon, your freebie going to be to start growing that email list? Now, these first two steps are essential to your business success. You don't want to just skip attract and engage, because if you do, your business will hit a feast or famine cycle. We have to make sure that new people are hearing about us on a consistent basis. Now, part three of this five-part framework here is nurture. The goal of nurture is to build that relationship with your community. But too often, entrepreneurs fail to provide real value for their potential clients because they just blast pitch after pitch after pitch to their audience. You've seen entrepreneurs like that, businesses like that, and people don't really respond to it, right? Nurture marketing is all about providing useful, relevant, entertaining, inspiring content to build the relationship and help people decide if you are the right person to help them. So how can we nurture our community? We can send regular email newsletters. We can write blog posts and send those out. We can record and distribute podcasts. We can host a video show. We can post on social media. We can actually pick up the phone or personally email people. Now, in my business, I depend heavily on teaching. That is my gifting. I know that each and every week I can show up on Promote Yourself to CEO and I can help my community learn how to start and scale service-based businesses through this podcast. Now, that's not the only way you can do it. Maybe you're somebody who is more motivational in nature, or you're more inspirational, or you are somebody who's highly creative. There's a million different ways to do this, but the whole goal here in this nurture content piece of the puzzle is to make sure you're building that I know how I can trust them feeling. They're going to help me get the results that I want. The key with this stage is consistency. You have to make sure you're showing up consistently for your community. So it's important that once you choose your nurture strategy, that you're going to commit to showing up consistently for your community. Part four of the five-part framework is invite. Once you've done all of this work, right? We've gone through the first three parts of this process. We've attracted, we've engaged, we've nurtured. Then we've got to invite them to take the next step. We need to make sure that we are crystal clear in inviting people into our business. You have to tell people how they can work with you and what you have available for them to take the next step with. You have to tell them how that works. This is where I see a lot of women entrepreneurs struggle, because This is where we have to be very clear and direct. We can't kind of hide and hope that our potential clients will figure out how they can work with us. We have to tell them. So ask yourself, do you have a real plan for how you're going to invite potential clients to become paying clients? As in, this month I'm focused on getting 5 new one-on-one coaching clients. I'm going to have 20 free strategy sessions, and I'll fill those free strategy sessions by announcing them to my email list and my social media. Do you have a plan? Now, the fifth part of the 5-part marketing strategy is delight. And this is one of my favorite things to really design and map out. And that's because customer experience is what drives retention, what drives results, what drives referrals, what drives rave reviews. It is a game changer. How awesome would it be to build a solid client base who continues to work with you again and again and again? This is what happens when you have a plan to delight your existing clients with an incredible experience that not only helps them to get the results they hired you to achieve, but when you go above and beyond, when you have an experience that's designed to surprise and delight, your clients get better results because they are more engaged and they're more excited about the work you're doing together. And when your clients get amazing results, again, you get rave reviews, referrals, and repeat business. So you want to ask yourself, how are you surprising and delighting your clients? And that's pretty much it. This is the process I went through in my first year of business, and I was able to quickly grow to over $8,000 a month and $100,000 in my first year of taking my business online, even while working 25 hours a week, even when having twins and a high-risk pregnancy that put me on bed rest for 4 months. So if I can go through all of that, then I feel like this is a very clear, direct process nearly anyone could follow. Your first year in business, I'm not gonna lie, it is the hardest year in business. But I hope you feel more confident and have more clarity about what the next steps could be for you. So I hope you took away a couple of things. First, validate your business ideas. Validate, validate, validate. Almost half of what we talked about in this episode was validating it, validating your business idea by talking to people and getting people to actually pay you. You're not out of the startup stage unless you have paying clients. Second, prioritize profits. If you don't have endless hours to work and an infinite budget to just spend money, then the fastest path to cash and the thing that will create a sustainable revenue you can depend on is likely going to be working one-on-one. Higher value one-on-one programs are going to be where it's at to make sure that you can start out with a more sustainable business model. Finally, build a marketing system. You need to be able to continuously attract, engage, nurture, invite, and delight clients into your business. Don't wait until you've run out of clients, until no one is paying you, to turn around and go out there and try to hustle more people into your business. That is why so many people are stuck in that feast or famine cycle. Now, if you've been overwhelmed trying to get your business through the startup stage, that I want you to know that the CEO Collective was designed around the full business growth checklist. We just went through some of the key things for the startup stage, but we have training and content and resources available no matter what stage of business you're in, whether you are starting up or scaling up to 15K months and beyond. If you loved today's episode, please take a screenshot and share it with me on Instagram, tag me at rachel.cook, and let me know your biggest takeaway. For the full show notes, including the business growth checklist, head over to rachelcook.com/show. And if you don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes in this Path to Predictable Profit series, make sure you are subscribed to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you catch the podcast. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Promote Yourself to CEO. We'll talk soon.